this bad. We're going to be in the book of Romans chapter 8 today. So I want you guys to turn there. If you have a piece of paper, kind of slide it in there, because I may leave that section and come back there. So, but I am going to read this whole chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And do not stand for the reading. You know why? I went to Florida and I spoke at a church when I was in Florida. And I read a lot of scriptures, and they were standing every time I read a scripture. I was like, I got 26 scriptures to read. So y'all people, you know, they would sit down and then they would stand up when I said another scripture. I said, y'all gonna be tired. So I have a lot of scriptures to read, so I don't want you to stand up because you're going. You know, especially got heels on. Praise God. So he was like, okay. Okay. Yesterday was absolutely beautiful. Reminded me of heavenly nights.
I know.
What we used to do back in the day. But it's good to learn that church can't, it should be fun. I always say that if it's not fun, you shouldn't go.
Amen.
Because if it's so boring that you just like, God, the clock. When can we get out of here? You know what I mean? Because that's how I was growing up, man. I'd be in the back row like, oh, God. The guy said, I'm almost done. And you know you're lying, right? So it's like, oh, God. But it just lasts forever. It was also a blessing that Dory was able to call me up to give an altar call or an altar prayer at the end of the day. Whenever I get to speak about where I came from as far as a Christian, I'm always very happy to tell my story. And if you have a testimony, you should be very happy to tell your testimony whenever you get an opportunity. And my testimony was being saved at 17 years old. And the whole walking down the aisle and the preacher standing there thinking I was like, you didn't know if I was going to shoot him or what. I was dressed fully gang attire, you know. So he was like, oh my God, you know. Yeah, matter of fact, when I got to the front, he asked me what I want. I'm like, you just preached. I'm Christ, you know what I mean? I'm on Jesus Christ. So, you know, it's always a blessing to tell your testimony. But getting saved at 17 changed my entire life. Blessed me to be able to go to college, blessed me to not be dead, blessed me to not be in prison.
Amen.
It was a blessing to get saved at 17. And I'm 49 now, I'll be 50 in October.
All right.
So that means if God saved you, he can keep you. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for clapping, Brandon. Because from 1979 to 2011, I'm like, God, you bad. I'm in a black boy. You good. Praise God. You guys in Romans chapter 8?
Yeah.
All right. Romans chapter 8 is all about love. And it's all about what God has done for you in his act of love. We're going to go through it, but we're going to go through it kind of verse by verse, and I'll explain what I need to. Then we're going to get to a part... when we get to verse 26, which will lead us to Corinthians, because I want you guys to really understand the importance of praying in tongues.
Amen.
And it is very important. I marked out some scriptures, so when you leave here, you understand that tongues should be a part of your daily prayer life.
Amen.
And if you don't speak in tongues, you know, it's okay. That don't mean you're not saved. Because I grew up in that church, too. And if I don't do that, I'm not saved. I'm like, well, it hasn't came yet. Well, when God's ready to fill you with the Holy Spirit and you speak it in other tongues, it'll come upon you and nobody will have to stand by you and pat you on the back and say, say yabba dabba doo, say yabba dabba doo. And then you try. You don't have to do that. God is real.
Amen.
Because when I got saved at 17, when I came up out of waters, I was already speaking in tongues.
Amen.
So nobody had to hit me on the back or, you know, coerce me into speaking in tongues.
Right.
You'll be in the room and it will happen.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
So let's get started in Romans chapter 8. It says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to stop there because if you have an NIV, it will not include this scripture. It says, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Is that the next verse?
Amen.
Okay, you have a good Bible then. I have an NIV. Sometimes I want to burn it, but it's most of it is good, but I'm smart enough to make sure I check that the scriptures need to be in there. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
So, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you walk according to the flesh and you're in Christ Jesus, you need some condemnation.
Amen.
Because you need something to check you to get you back in right standing with God.
Amen.
If you're walking according to the Spirit, and we've got to define walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit is walking according to the Word of God. Is walking in obedience,
yes.
But it's walking in obedience according to the Word of God. Because obedience also means if I make a mistake, Romans 9:1 says I need to go to God, repent, and He will forgive me for my sins, and He'll forgive me and He'll cleanse me and set me back in right standing. I'm still walking according to the Word of God. I'm still walking in obedience if I stay in line with what the Word says.
Amen.
If I sin, and I walk by God every day as if I ain't done nothing to him, right?
Right.
You slap somebody and then you just wake up every day and they looking at you like, when you gonna apologize? And you like, just go to the fridge. That means something's wrong with you. You have to realize that you have done something against this person, right?
Amen.
So we don't sin against God and then completely just keep walking by God every day and never apologize for what we know we did was wrong.
That's right.
Okay? That would be a bad relationship. And God is not into bad relationships.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Okay, it says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, that it was weak by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Now, but the law was not able to do. The law is, I'm a good person, I should go to heaven. Have you accepted Jesus Christ? No, but I'm a good person. I haven't killed anybody, I haven't lied, I don't steal, I haven't cheated on my wife, I've done all these good things. Have you accepted Jesus Christ? The law is impossible for the law to bring you into salvation.
Amen.
You cannot make it to heaven because you're a good person.
Right.
It just won't work. You'll stand before God and He'll say, I'm sorry, I've only had one way, and that's through Christ. So therefore, since God knows we can't keep not ten commandments. How many commandments?
613
commandments. They only listed the 10 when Moses came down from the mountain. There are 613 commandments. If you break one, you've broken God's whole commandment.
Amen.
So therefore, God knows that human beings are not going to be able to live this perfect life under all these laws. So He sent Christ.
Right.
So that through Christ, we can now not walk in condemnation because now we're going to walk according to the Spirit.
Right.
We're going to walk according to the Word of God and we're going to stay in relationship with God.
Amen.
And this is how we're going to maintain our salvation throughout our walk, because we're never going to be dishonest with God. We're never going to sin and act like God didn't see it.
Amen.
We're never going to keep something hidden, you know, magazines under the bed, stuff on the computer. We're never going to do that and act as if God didn't see it.
Amen.
We're going to keep an honest relationship, and if we should sin, we're going to stay in line with the Word of God and use the offering that Christ has made, the sin offering, on Calvary. Praise God.
Amen.
And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires.
Amen.
So He condemned sin in sinful man in order that righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires.
Amen.
So, that is very simple. If you are not walking in the Spirit, you can test yourself. If you never have Jesus on your mind, the Word of God on your mind, going to church on your mind, praying on your mind, but you have, I can't wait till I talk to my next girlfriend, my next boyfriend, I can't wait till the next club visit, I can't wait. If you have sin always on your mind, you're not walking according to the Spirit.
Amen.
Because what should be on your minds are things of the Spirit. How am I going to build myself up today? What can I do to build myself up spiritually? If you're 95% of, you know what, we'll say 90%, because God only wants 10%, right? God says, give me 10% of your day, and I will help you grow spiritually. Now, you have to understand something. As you're living this Christian life, and you're trying to make it into the kingdom of God, God wrote this for a reason, okay? In the beginning, God was there and God said, okay, this is how we're going to do this. We know that we built a place for angels who sin and we call it Hades. And everyone who dies in their sin, we'll put them there, okay? But everyone who dies in Christ, we're bringing them into the kingdom of God. In Job, they asked Job, God asked Satan when he came into his presence with Job. He said, Satan, where have you been? He said, going through, up and down, and in and out of the earth. So Satan is going in and out and through and forth, but Satan knows that there is a place called Hades, right?
Right.
If he's the only one that sins, he's going to be the only one there. So don't we all like to have company? So Satan, the reason why Satan is always tempting you with sin is because he wants you to be where he's going to be.
Right.
And so God has made a plan for you not to be. But you have to do this by walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ has to become a reality to you. This can't be like a casual thing. This has to be like, okay, I need to focus on this. Because my future is in Christ. Okay?
Amen.
Let's keep going. All right. It says the mind of the sinful man is dead. That's not death. That means you die physically. That means you die and you go to a place where you experience death. Death is to be completely ruined for eternity. Okay?
Amen.
So it says those who are controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, and yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives inside of you. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's keep going. I'm going to stop when the Lord tells me to. Therefore, brother, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature. What does the word obligation mean? Something that you have to do, right? Okay, so now the scripture is saying, we have an obligation. The obligation to God is to walk according to the Spirit. An obligation is something that you must do. So God says, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature. You're not obligated to live by your sinful nature anymore.
Amen.
You, if you have Christ, you don't have to do what it says. You have power over it.
Amen.
Do you know that?
Yes.
Because the Spirit of God is living inside of you, now you have power over your sinful nature. When your sinful nature says it wants to do something, guess who now controls it? The spirit that lives inside of you can control it, but your will can now control this because you have a spirit inside of you that controls your flesh. So, you can make better decisions. You're obligated to live this life by the Spirit, because if you live by the Spirit and you deny your fleshly lust, you will gain eternal life in heaven with God. You will gain your mansion. You will gain presence with Christ. There's nothing more I want to do than to stand before Christ and have a good conversation. And to talk about all of the beautiful things that He's done for us to allow us to be able to come into the kingdom.
Amen.
So, this whole thing is very serious. Now, we're not obligated. It says, therefore, brother, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. You understand that? If you speed, you will get a ticket. I just don't know what you're going to say. It says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. But you have to put it to death. How are you going to put it to death? Everything around you tells you to sin. They give us what? As far as African Americans, they give us what? BET? And what is that? That's going to train you how to sin all day.
Amen.
Most of the television trains you how to sin all day. Everything in life, Satan has it set up where it trains you how to sin all day. So therefore, how do you fight against something? It's almost like you're a crack addict and everywhere you go, there's crack. Or you're an alcoholic and everywhere you go, there's a liquor store.
Right.
How are you going to fight against this?
Amen.
You have to walk according to the Spirit and you have to control your flesh. There are liquor stores and you're an alcoholic, but you don't have to go in the liquor store because you have the Spirit of God inside of you.
Amen.
There's sin in the world, but you don't have to do it because you have the Spirit of God inside of you.
Amen.
So we have to walk according to this obligation that we have to God, with God, to live according to His Spirit. It says, but you will live. Let me see here. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That word in Hebrew is the Benahai Elohim. That means God has directly created you. You never existed before. You came into the world, you didn't have the Spirit of God in you. You were flesh and a soul with a dead spirit, and the Spirit of God did not live inside of you. But through accepting Christ, God put His own Spirit inside of you, and now you are a created brand new being.
Amen.
Therefore, now you are new in Christ. So the first thing a person that is new in Christ needs to do is renew your mind.
Yes.
How are you going to renew your mind? In the Word of God. You first got to renew your mind. Why? Because 17 years of bad thinking had my mind messed up.
Amen.
17 years of bad thinking had me thinking that you didn't have to be married to lay down with somebody. 17 years of bad thinking made me think that women were sexual objects. 17 years of bad thinking made me think that a little weed don't bother nobody.
Right.
So I have to, first of all, renew my mind in the Scriptures.
Amen.
And find out what is acceptable to God so that I can walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh and gain eternal life. This is a battle that you must win. Praise God.
Amen.
So he's created you as the sons of God now. For you did not receive the Spirit that makes you a slave to fear. We don't even have time to get into that word fear, but just a small scale to talk about it. is the fear of everything. It's not just fear of death, but it's fear of success. It's fear of walking by God's word. It's fear of being a wife that other people deem to be crazy. Because a wife that is loving and kind to her husband, or a husband who is loving and kind and a servant to his wife, is not normal in the world. So now you got to get out of the fear of not looking like the world and looking like the word, what the word wants you to.
Amen.
And not what the world wants you to. So you got to get out of the fear of everything. The fear is, generally, the fear of trying to fit in with the world and casting that away, and then going God's way and doing everything God's way.
Amen.
So you got, he said, we no longer live in this fear.
Amen.
A fear to separate ourselves, a fear to be better than what we are. We don't have to live in that fear. It says, but you receive the spirit of sonship. Guess what, you guys? When you accepted Christ, you got adopted.
Amen.
My brother just adopted a little boy. They said we loved him so much, we just couldn't let him go. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
God adopted you. You didn't have no parent, not no godly parent. You had some fleshly parents. Sometimes some of us had good fleshly parents. Some of us don't. But we didn't have a spiritual parent. God adopted you.
Yeah.
Guess what? He's rich. You're like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, right? Man, thank you for adopting me. I give you the judge, too. This is just like the Fresh Prince, right?
Amen.
Got a mansion, you the judge.
Yeah.
This is all good.
Amen.
You're adopted. That means you're what? Now listen as it continues on. It says, you have the spirit of sonship or daughtership. You guys aren't left out. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. Now in Hebrew, I know enough to know that Abba is not father. Abba is daddy in Hebrew. Okay? So he's saying, I'm not just your father, I'm daddy.
Amen.
Which makes this whole thing personal. Now you can come to him and talk to him, say, I need a new bike, daddy. Right? Because you're in good relationship. This is good stuff, man.
Yeah.
It said the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. But if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ of everything that he owns. So you're rich, man.
Amen.
But again it says, if. I love when the Bible does that. It says you are heirs and co-heirs with Christ if indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. What is Christ's suffering? Because you've got to share in his suffering. You know what Christ's suffering was? Obedience.
Yeah.
His suffering was he had to be obedient all the way to the cross. The scripture says, if you share in Christ's suffering, you will gain the glory. You will be a co-heir with Christ, with everything. This is eternal.
Amen.
How many of you people know somebody that's 120 years old? Nobody, right? How many people you know that somebody is 90? Very few. Okay. Now, how many people that know somebody that's 75? It gets a little more, but think about it. Life is not forever.
Amen.
I'm talking about this is eternal. This is eternal. You've got to spend eternity somewhere.
Right.
Because you were not made to die. So you might as well spend it in glory with God.
Amen.
So this is why, this is what God is giving us. Through his love for us, this is what he's giving us. Okay, so we have to suffer, we have to share in his suffering. His suffering is obedience. Is saying no when your flesh says yes. It's saying no when your flesh says yes.
Amen.
It is the simplest thing in the world. You don't have to break down the scripture or the Greek or anything to say no.
Amen.
You don't have to be a theology, great theology and all this stuff. To say no doesn't take any biblical knowledge. know you want to follow Christ, you want to know you want to go to heaven, say no.
Amen.
Okay. It says, I consider that our present suffering is not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to suffering, but not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage of decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So the whole world is waiting for Christ to return. It's not just us. The whole creation is like, man, I'll be glad when Jesus comes back and reigns so we don't have to decay anymore.
Amen.
The whole world is waiting for this one man who is God in the flesh to reveal himself so the whole world can stop decaying and suffering. It says in 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in pain of a child, of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit, which is Christ Jesus. We groan inwardly, and we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we are saved. But hope is not seen, is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it, what? Patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know. He's going to tell you what your weakness is. We do not know what we ought to pray about, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Spirit is going to pray for you in accordance to God's will. Understand?
Yes.
Now, this is the problem. Let's go to Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because we have a problem with speaking in tongues. Even though the Spirit Himself, while you're speaking in tongues, is going to do your praying for you, and He knows what God's will is for you in your life.
Amen.
He's working out perfection. But in our lack of faith, because remember, faith is a lack. Faith kicks out fear.
Amen.
Okay? In fear, you don't want to speak in tongues. You know why? Because it sounds goofy. I'm speaking in tongues. Guess who's there saying, you sound weird. You need to get up. God don't understand what you're saying. Why is Satan bothering me so much? When I'm speaking in a normal, natural voice, nobody's talking in my head trying to get me to stop speaking in tongues. But start speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. Get up. You sound crazy. What if the neighbors hear? They're going to call somebody. You know what I mean? He really doesn't want you, because the Spirit is now going to pray for you.
Yeah.
Now while you're praying, here, let's read this real fast. You're in Corinthians chapter 14?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For everyone who speaks in tongues does not speak, it says, for everyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to man, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. You're praying. Here, let's read this real fast. You're in Corinthians chapter 14?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For everyone who speaks in tongues
does not speak, it says, for everyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to man, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening and encouragement and comfort. He who speaks in the tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like that every one of you speak in tongues. So God wants all of us to speak in tongues. But he says, I would rather that you prophesy. Now, prophesying is mean, I don't rather that you prophesy like God told me in the future. That's not prophesying, okay? Prophesying is like, I have a word, a scripture from you from the word that the Lord wants me to explain to you. That's prophesying, okay? Prophesying is done in the natural so that people can understand what you're talking about.
Right.
Like if you all came in here and I just spoke in tongues for 2 hours, you would leave like, what was that, right?
Right.
But if I'm speaking in a natural tongue, you can be encouraged by what I say because I'm prophesying to you in the natural.
Amen.
When you speak in the tongue, listen, it says, for everyone who speaks in the tongues, do not speak to men but to God. Understand? Now, go over to verse 14. Verse 14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. You understand that?
Yeah.
So when you're praying in tongues, your spirit is praying, and who's he speaking to?
God.
God. And is speaking the will of God over your life.
Amen.
You understand? The Spirit is speaking the will of God over your life, and he's speaking directly to God.
Amen.
When you speak in the natural, this is why the scripture said this is your weakness. Because 5 minutes, you ran out of things to say, right?
Amen.
You're like,
amen.
And grandmama. Right? And bless grandmama. And then you're done. You're like, oh man, I wish I had some more to say, Lord. Lord, say, speak in tongues. Let the spirit that's living inside of you speak to me my will over your life.
Yes.
Now you're operating in power, and this is why Satan does not want you to speak in tongues in your prayer life.
Amen.
Because when you speak in a tongue, the Holy Spirit says, I know where a great job is, Father, and a good job. And you say, and this is all coming out like yabba dabba do, right?
Right?
So you don't understand what anything's going on. But the Spirit is like speaking over things that he knows you
Hallelujah.
Need in your life.
Amen.
This is why the Lord says, he encourages, he said, I would that all of you speak in tongues. He wants all of us to, so that we can have some power in our life, a prayer life that can speak directly to God, not in foolishness, but directly in God, the Spirit of God, speaking to God, the will, his will over our life.
Amen.
And so now more is getting done. Why is more getting done? Because the conversation is better. You know what I mean? I wish Israel had like the spirit of daddy inside of him, so we can have an intelligent conversation, right? Because during the day, the conversation gets crazy. It gets crazy. I told Drea last night, I said, Israel came to me, I thought he was going to say something intelligent. He said, Daddy, God and Jesus are the same. I went, wow. I thought, okay, Israel, how do you know that? Because they have the same hair. I said, thanks, Israel. Then he came back and said, but Moses is not God because he don't have the same hair. He was right, but I'm talking to a kid. All right? God is like this when he's talking to us, right? If you say, God bless mommy and grandma, one more time, I'm going to slap him. You know what I mean? Because your prayer life is weak. You know a few things, but you don't have an adult conversation. God says, you have an adult living inside of you. Will you let him talk to me, please? Could you something inside of you that you may be neglecting because you don't like the way it feels when you're doing it. Everything we do is by faith.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what I'm saying, but Holy Spirit, you can pray for me as long as you want. So I can get the benefit.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Good word, man.
Okay, so let's go back to Romans. I told you guys to put a paper there, right?
Amen.
But the Lord told me, please explain that to him, because some of his prayer lives are killing me. And a new bike and from tennis shoes. Does he have the Holy Spirit? Can the Holy Spirit talk? Praise God.
That's good.
We're in Romans. We're back in Romans chapter 8. Praise God. Okay. So now, it says in verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for good. For we know that in all things God works for good of those who love Him and who have been invited according to His purpose.
Yeah.
I'm using the word invited because the word called means you've been invited.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
If you don't take the invitation, this is not for you. Okay?
Amen.
If you take the invitation, this is for you. God is throwing a party. It's called the wedding feast of Christ. We're all invited.
Yes.
Everybody don't want to come. Not know why? Because there ain't going to be no weed there.
Ooh. Oh.
Ain't going to be no apple. I mean, it would be some wine, but ain't going to be no vodka there. Ain't going to be no gin and juice. Some people want to live in the world, so they're like, no, I heard about the party. You can't do what you want to do.
Oh, man.
Because your mind is set on sinful nature. But God says, look, take your mind off the sinful nature. I'm inviting you to an eternal party. This is not a one-day thing. This is not like 2 o'clock, you know, the club's about to close at 2 o'clock. No, there's no last dance. I'm inviting you to an eternal party. And this is the invitation that is going out. Christ Jesus, the King, is inviting you to a party.
Amen.
Do you want to go?
Right. Amen.
This is party, I'm telling you.
Amen.
Now look. Where was I?
29.
Thank you. Okay. So it says, for those he foreknew, he also predestined. Now listen. What he foreknew is, my son's going to have a bride.
Right.
What he foreknew is, my son is going to have a church, which he's going to be the head of.
Amen.
That's what I foreknow, okay?
Right.
Who takes the invitation, whosoever takes the invitation will become a part of that bride.
Right.
Whosoever takes the invitation will become a part of that church.
Right.
You are not predestined children from the foundations of the earth.
Right.
You are here on earth with an opportunity to take the invitation.
Amen.
That's why we witness to them. That's why we tell people about Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because we're trying to get them to go to the party.
Amen.
That's
okay?
Right.
That's right.
Now, it says, for those who are predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. So he's justified you as being righteous and available to go to the party.
That's right.
He also, and he said he also glorified you. So he's also going to dress you in his glory.
Amen.
An eternal body.
Amen.
And it says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is throwing a party. It's called the wedding feast of Christ. We're all invited.
Yes.
Everybody don't want to come. Not know why? Because there ain't going to be no weed there.
Ooh. Oh.
Ain't going to be no apple. I mean, it would be some wine, but ain't going to be no vodka there. Ain't going to be no gin and juice. Some people want to live in the world, so they're like, no, I heard about the party. You can't do what you want to do.
Oh, man.
Because your mind is set on sinful nature. But God says, look, take your mind off the sinful nature. I'm inviting you to an eternal party. This is not a one-day thing. This is not like 2 o'clock, you know. The club's about to close at 2 o'clock. No, there's no last dance. I'm inviting you to an eternal party. And this is the invitation that is going out. Christ Jesus, the King, is inviting you to a party.
Amen.
Do you want to go?
Right. Amen.
This is party, I'm telling you.
Amen.
Now look. Where was I?
29.
Thank you. Okay. So it says, for those he foreknew, he also predestined. Now listen, what he foreknew is, my son's going to have a bride.
Right.
What he foreknew is, my son is going to have a church, which he's going to be the head of.
Amen.
That's what I foreknow, okay?
Right.
Who takes the invitation, whosoever takes the invitation, will become a part of that bride.
Right.
Whosoever takes the invitation will become a part of that church.
Right.
You are not predestined children from the foundations of the earth.
Right.
You are here on earth with an opportunity to take the invitation.
Amen.
That's why we witness to people.
Amen.
That's why we tell people about Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because we're trying to get them to go to the party.
Amen.
That's
okay?
Right.
That's right.
Now, it says, for those who are predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. So he's justified you as being righteous and available to go to the party.
That's right.
He also, and he said he also glorified you. So he's also going to dress you in his glory.
Amen.
An eternal body.
Amen.
And it says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? That means you can't lose a battle even though it looks like you're going to lose. All you got to do is let the Spirit pray for you and let the will of God be done. You can't lose a battle. There's no fear in you.
Amen.
Some people scared, like I'm scared to do this, I'm scared to do that. Do it. You can't lose.
Amen.
God is inside of you.
Right.
Here we go.
Amen.
It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with the generosity, give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Okay. Those whom God has chosen. It does not mean you are individually chosen. Why are you one of those God has chosen? You took the invitation.
Amen.
Now that you've taken the invitation, you're part of a chosen bride. You're part of a chosen church that was chosen before the foundation of the earth. Okay?
Amen.
So now, who will bring charge against God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ. Who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who has raised to life? And is at the right hand of God? And is also interceding for us. Praise God.
Amen.
It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? No.
Amen.
Hardship? No. Somebody's persecuting you? No. Jesus still loves you, right? Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Danger? No. Swords? No. It says, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demon, neither present nor future, nor any power, neither height or depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Praise God.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Amen.
That's good news. Bless our feet that bring the good news, even if they got corns. They're still beautiful.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Praise God.
Yes.
This is good news. Walk according to the Spirit.
Amen.
You know, I'm not with this. We got tons of years left.
No.
Before Christ comes. I'm just not with you. And I'm publicly declaring it before God that I'm not with you.
Amen.
I don't believe you got 5, 10, 20 years left. I believe we're on short time.
Amen.
And I believe this is something we need to pay close detail to right now. I believe, now me and Pastor Ben, we're getting it together so that I can actually put it out.
Yes.
And so people can understand. But I'm not with this. And I have too much knowledge and understanding and too much history with God to get on this bandwagon of, now all we have to do is, because Christ ain't coming back, is just be the best, you know, Dr. Phil Christians that we can be. And this is not God's plan. He has a plan of marriage. He has a plan of eternity. He has a plan for a marriage with his son.
Yes.
He has a plan for a rapture. God has plans. So I'm not with this let's all just relax because Jesus forgot or he decided he's not. You know, he decided he's just not going to have the party.
Right.
I'm not with it.
Amen.
This is an urgent call to walk in God's love and walk in God's Spirit.
Yes.
Because he has eternity planned for you. It's something you're going to have to fight for. And I don't want you to get discouraged. Because let me tell you something. I watched the fight last night on HBO. And the guy was way better than the other guy. But guess what? The other guy still lost 2 rounds. He was way better than the guy he was fighting, but still, a couple of rounds, that guy who couldn't fight came out with some encouragement and punched him out a couple of times, right? So you're not gonna win every battle.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, you're not gonna win every battle. You know what God doesn't want you to do? When the bell rings for the next round, you still sitting on your stool saying, I can't do it no more. Quitting, God does not allow.
Amen.
We don't go backwards.
That's right.
When the bell rings, we get up and we fight.
That's right.
We keep asking forgiveness. We keep going to God. We keep getting encouraged. We keep loving Jesus. We keep reading our Bibles. Because giving up means that you don't want to go to a party.
That's right.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Amen.